We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Happy Thursday to you, Brevard County. Beware the Ides of June. No. That was the Ides of March, I guess, from Julius Caesar or probably William Shakespeare's version. So how many of you know that if God made the day, you don't have to beware of it? You get to go ahead and live by faith. And in fact, I want to encourage you, do not let the devil paralyze your lifestyle through fear. In fact, we're going to talk about fear here just a little bit today on the Refresh Radio broadcast, but we want to invite you out to our Father's Day Sunday. This will be our fourth Sunday in a row that we're celebrating. And so as my daughters who did the video announcements here a couple of weeks ago, they said there will be a manly lunch after service. So, we encourage you to come be a part of that. We're going to be having some door prizes for the men and things like that. This luncheon will be taking the place of our Iron Men's breakfast, which we normally have at the end of the month. And so, one of the largest holidays of the year for selling greeting cards has always been Mother's Day. And this has changed now, but it used to be, prior to cell phones, that the number one day for collect phone calls was Father's Day. That kids would say, "Dad, I'm going to call you. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to tell you that I love you, but you're going to pay the bill." And that's kind of telling, I guess, if you will, now with cell phones and unlimited calling plans and all that. You can call and it doesn't really cost you anything. And so we pray that you will take advantage of the opportunity, if your father is still alive, to spend that time with them, to honor them and thank them for what they have done in their life. I tell people Father's Day is a very difficult day. Mothers hate the Proverbs 31 woman. Women just don't like the Proverbs 31 woman because it is very, very taxing trying to live up to that standard. And whenever they tell me that, I say, I don't want to hear anything at all about it because you're being measured by another woman. But on Father's Day, we're compared to the Heavenly Father. And so you never know what God is going to do. Last weekend, we had Jerry Hill with us, and his husband, Steve Hill, was mightily used by God back in 1995. He showed up to preach at a church, Brownsville Assembly of God in Pensacola, Florida. He showed up to preach at a church. The pastor, they were going through a transition at church. I believe his mother had just passed away. And he was not exactly feeling like that was the day that anything spectacular was going to break out. But God had other plans. And over the next 5 years, 150,000 people came through the doors of that church through their nightly and weekly revival services. And the people became mobilized to take the gospel to the streets. And 150,000 people made decisions. There were literally people traveling from all over the globe to go to those services. And so Sunday we will be honoring men, but we will also be honoring our Heavenly Father. So we would like to invite you out to those festivities. As I mentioned, you know, if you do have a prayer request, I mentioned this on yesterday's program. If you have a prayer request that you would like for us to be praying with you about and agreeing with you, contact us either by phone, 321-454-4263, 321-454-4263. You can reach us by snail mail. You can mail in that request, whatever it might be. And you can also email it to us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. So let's get back into the Word of God. Yesterday, I read the first four verses. Today, I'm going to read the first two verses and then verse four. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? Where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Verse 4. So will I choose their delusions and bring their fears on them, because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that which I do not delight. I want to start today by telling you that fear should not be the controlling factor in our lives. I know that there are a lot of people who are just not willing. They can get right to the brink of the promised land, but they can't seem to cross over that threshold. Because they end up in a familiar place, and sometimes in that familiar place, the unknown, and then sometimes, like the children of Israel, that which is known about the promised land becomes too intimidating to take that next step of faith. They were influenced by the fortified cities. They were influenced by the size of the occupants of the land. And they were influenced by how they perceived themselves. They saw themselves as grasshoppers going against giants. And I want to tell you today that if Jesus Christ is living in your heart and you are walking with him and growing in him, that he wants to make you a mighty man of valor. You say, that is not who I am. I'm not talking about who you are. I'm talking about what God is going to make you into. Gideon was hiding behind the wine press, threshing some grain, when all of a sudden an angel showed up and said, "You are a mighty man of valor." And he said, "Who are you talking to me?" And he ends up getting this assignment from God. And he starts out okay. And then he says, "Well, I'd better put out a fleece here. I need to make sure." And I will tell you, a lot of times Christians will use the term, "Let me pray about it," as an excuse rather than an actual legitimate petition before heaven. I know, because I almost did it. When they asked me to come to Merit Assembly of God and they told me the condition that it was in, I literally had the words formed that I was going to say, "Let me pray about it." And all of a sudden God said, "You don't have to pray about this, because I've been telling you this was going to happen." And he hadn't told me Merit Assembly of God. He just told me that he was going to transform my ministry into a pastoral ministry instead of a youth pastor's ministry. And my pastor that I worked for was very supportive and very instrumental in making it happen. So don't use that "let me pray about it" as a code word for "I'm too afraid to do this," or "I don't think it's going to work out." You see, the children of Israel, they got there and they said, we just don't think we can do this. They were afraid of what the outcome was going to be. There are some people who are so afraid of failure that they never take that first step of faith. And I want you to know that God has not given you a spirit of fear. He's not given you a spirit of timidity. back to Gideon. Gideon said, okay, I'm going to set out a fleece. And if in the morning this fleece is got water where it's soaked with water, but there's no water around it, then I will know that it's God. And he gets up the next day and he says, okay, if the fleece is dry, but the ground all around it is wet, then I'll know it is God. And you see, we look for things like that to be excuses for us instead of reasons. And even when Gideon, on the night that he was supposed to go into battle, he had to have a vision, or he took a trip down to the enemy camp, and he heard two guys talking, and one of them said, this is the dream that you've had is none other than the fact that Gideon is going to come and he is going to defeat us. And it was finally on that third occasion that Gideon realized that he was going to be victorious. Gideon originally had gathered huge numbers of people, and he ended up with 300. He just ended up with some people, and they defeated the enemy with torches and some clay pots. And, you know, God is not limited to the military logistics that this world has to offer. So when he tells you to do something, you can look to the word, you can surround yourself with godly counselors, but do not imprison yourself in a life of fear. Job said, that which I feared has come upon me. And I just don't want to give the enemy that type of control over my life. I'm kind of the mindset now that says, you know what? I would rather try and not succeed and demonstrate obedience to God than I would to say, no, that must be for somebody else to do. And so what God says here in verse number 4, it says, when they chose their delusion, or he said, because of the choices that they had made and their soul delighting in their abominations, God said, so will I choose their delusions and bring their fears upon them. Now, you need to remember that in a agricultural society or an agrarian society, food is very important. We only really appreciate the urgency of having food whenever a hurricane comes this way, or whenever power is out, or whenever, I mean, you know, if they issue an evacuation warning, I mean, it is Katie bar the door, everything. Brussels sprouts are going to disappear from the mall or from the grocery store. Those things that people don't like, they will buy just to make sure that they have something to eat. The first year that we were here, we moved here the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Our company had put us up in a hotel, and on Thanksgiving night, now this society's changed a lot. On Thanksgiving night, we didn't really know the area that well or anything, but what we found was that there wasn't much open. So we had a lunch. We were able to find some place to have Thanksgiving lunch, but Thanksgiving night, the only thing that we could find was a 7-Eleven, I believe, and we had bologna sandwiches. And we were thankful that out of all the bologna sandwiches I've ever eaten in my life, that's the one I remember, because that's what was available. So these people, they would choose. Now, I think it was on yesterday's broadcast, I was talking to you about how they wanted to be like the other nations. They would choose to worship the idols that other people were worshiping because they didn't want to not have food. They didn't want to fail to be reproductive, and they didn't want to be occupied by other lands. And so they were very easily enticed. And then you put that on the other side, And they also didn't want to be inconvenienced by the things that God had put it there for them to do. And so then they had to deal with those consequences. So there were a lot of fears that were going on. Be anxious for nothing, the Word of God says. But if we choose to follow the paths of others, listen, there are people who are uber wealthy, and yet they can't be generous because instilled in them is this deep-seated fear that however much they have might not be enough. And I want to challenge you to live by faith instead of fear, because fear says, God will take care of me. If he could feed Elijah when there was a famine in the land, and he could use birds as a courier service to deliver food, I know he will take care of me. If God could use Elijah to position him at a widow's house where she had just enough for her and her son to have one last meal, and then all of a sudden Elijah comes and a miracle takes place, and there's enough that sustains them for, you know, 3 years, I can trust God. If God could feed the millions of people in the wilderness for 40 years, I have every confidence that he's going to be able to take care of me for 40 minutes. Okay? And so, but here God says, so will I choose their delusions and bring their fears on them. When fear prompts you to walk in disobedience to God, it becomes a self-fulfilling act. You see, the only one who can deliver us from our fear is God. And he says, I want to give you faith as a driving factor. And so I'm a lot more bold, let's put it that way. I had a tremendous fear of rejection earlier in life, and now I just really don't let that fear control me. I still get rejected every week. I mean, every week I have empty chairs that are staring at me saying, we reject your ministry. Now, I don't know what face or what voice says that, but I have empty chairs, and they're saying, we don't think that there's anything going on here that we need to be a part of. And so rather than let those fears or let those empty chairs of rejection rule my life, I choose to lavish the word and lavish attention on those who are filling the other chairs. So I flipped that coin on its head, and you know, here on the radio program, I'm sitting here looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 banks of lights, and there are a huge number of stations that you could be listening to on the radio. There are numbers of stations that you could be listening to on Pandora or iHeartRadio or the TuneIn Radio app. There's all sorts of things that you could be doing. And so rather than saying, you know what, there's nobody paying attention, I choose to say, you know what, God, you called me to do this. You equipped me to do this. You have instilled in me a word to do this. And so I'm not going to be afraid of the result. I am more intimidated, if you will, by God saying, you wicked and lazy servant. That's what I don't want to hear. And so I'm going to choose to walk out in faith. These people, they said, we're going to choose to do what we want to do instead of what God wants to do, because we don't want to starve, we don't want to be barren, and we don't want to be occupied. And as an end result, whenever we throw off the protection of God, our fears end up coming upon us. It says he will bring their fears upon them. He says, what happened was, when I called, no one answered. When I called, no one answered. I can tell from the time of day and from the phone that rings on certain days of the week, I can tell who's calling. I can tell who's calling. And if I don't get to that phone in time, I know that my cell phone is the next phone to ring. And if I don't get to that phone in time, I know that my wife's phone is the next phone to ring. And I forget where who this was about, but somebody was not able to get in touch with a family member, with a loved one. And so they literally came to that person and said, look, I wanted to make sure that you were okay, because you not responding wasn't characteristic. I believe that God calling should be treated as a phone call of honor. When we look and say, hey, that's God calling on the caller ID, we say, you know what? I'm going to pick up that phone. I'm going to answer it, because he calls for a purpose. You realize that when God calls, there's a reason that he is calling. He's either calling to equip you with a word. He's calling to ask you to intercede on a situation. He's calling because he wants to spend time with you, or he wants you to spend time with him. He's calling to inform you of what tactics the enemy may be employing on your life. Listen, when God calls, we can't afford not to take the phone call. So he said, when I spoke, they did not hear. A book, The Seven Laws of the Learner, in the first chapter, the author, who I believe his name's Bruce Wilkinson, describes how when he was in college, he went to two different classes. One was his favorite professor, who made learning just a fantastic experience. And the second one was just a professor who was there to collect his paycheck. And he started off the class that day by ignoring both professors. And the one professor just went on, the one that didn't care whether you got it or whether you didn't. He was going to get paid, and that was all that mattered. And the second professor, his favorite professor, the one who made learning so exciting, was so troubled to find that this person was not paying attention to what the professor said. And he thought so much of the information that he stopped the class to make sure that he had everyone's attention. And so I believe the statement went something like this: Mr. Wilkinson, could you please explain to this class what is so exciting going on out that window that you are not availing yourself of the information in this lecture? And he's, oh, I apologize. And he went back and he said, you know what? He realized that his job was not just to communicate the information out of his mouth. It was to make sure that we got it, that we applied it, that we understood it, and that we could pass it on to others. How well do we listen to God? Do you realize that without taking notes and without audio recordings and things like that, that our retention of things that we hear is greatly reduced? It's in the very, very low percentiles, about 10%. And so I realize that doing this radio program, that if you're just listening to the sound of my voice, you're probably going to forget most of what I say. But if there is something that comes across that resonates within your spirit, and you say, you know what, I'm not going to forget that. And that's what I want you to know, is that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Are we trying to live by bread, or are we so driven to know? Because God is still speaking. God is still speaking. The question is, are we still listening? Are we still listening? So, one of my daughters is doing the children's ministry, and I saw some of the recap of what had gone on here recently in one of her one of her children's church services. And I could see that she had the kids engaged here, and then the kids were engaged someplace else. And all of the kids were engaged. And I told her, I said, "You are doing an amazing job." I wasn't even in the class. I was preaching myself. I was preaching the word myself. And I said, "You did such a wonderful job." And I wasn't even in there. I saw evidence of her creativity, and I said, "But what you did was you had the kids moving throughout the service, and you kept their attention." I could tell all of that just from the pictures without ever having to hear what she said. Has God got your attention? You know, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." If we will position ourselves to pay attention, to hear, I think we will find ourselves in a lot better place. God said, "They didn't listen to me. They did evil before my eyes and chose that which I do not delight." Verse 4 said that those things brought about their fears being realized and them embracing deception and delusion instead of the word of truth. So let me ask you this question today as we get ready to end the broadcast today. How's your prayer life? Is it more like a late night comedian's monologue where you just drone on and on and on about information that people don't really care about? Or are you positioning yourself in prayer to say, "God, what do you have to say to me? God, when you get ready to open your Bible and get ready to study it, God, would you be a part of this today? Would you speak to my heart today? Because I need a word from you." You know what? I can tell you that God will answer that prayer, because there was a time when I said, "God, I have got to hear from you today. I don't know what is going on, and I need you to speak to me." And I opened the word, and I was just going through my daily Bible reading, and God said, "Here's the word that you need to hear." Pay attention to what God says. He is smarter than I am. He is smarter than you are. And he's smarter than anybody you will ever meet. He's worth listening to. Father, today I pray that we would pay attention. We would be people who hang on your every word, who refuse to let a single thing that you said fall to the ground as if it was useless. God, may we exalt your word and your name above all things, just like you have. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."